The Shift Show, Captain's Log, Episode 26. In today's episode, Dwayne and Joe tackle the trouble of tribbles overrunning your inbox. You may have heard of the premise of zero inbox and how it can save you time and lost productivity. Learn a few methods they use to make their inbox a productivity tool and not a brain drain of time and tribbles. Computer, set phaser array to sweep mode.
Hey buddy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well. Holiday spirit actually almost here down in Florida. It was pretty chilly this morning. So
dude, it was 36 this morning, and I know I don't know where other people who listen to this are from, but for us that's terrible. That was very cold. Did not expect that. Yeah, I mean, I should have expected it because we have technology that tells you that that's coming, but
it does. Getting prepared for it. It was a little chilly getting up this morning and heading out for a little bit. But hey, good for the spirits. Good for getting some blood flow going.
You're a runner, so when you go out in the morning and it's 36, do you like run faster to get the run over? Like how does that work? Or do you just catch up with everything or what?
I don't want to see what I look like when I first start running because I think I look like I'm running really, really cold.
How do you look?
I'm like hopping along. I don't know. My hands are like shoved into my arms, in my arms of my
lips
shirt.
Lips are blue.
Yes.
People from outside Florida are like, these guys are idiots. Like 36 is not cold.
Exactly.
I was on a phone call with somebody or an online meeting thing, and they were from Calgary. And I was like, where is that? Because I'm not super cultured.
Apparently
it's in Canada. And he said it was minus 20. And I was like, what does that even mean? Humans are not supposed to live in places where the air hurts you.
I'm heading up to Niagara Falls area between the holidays. So I guess this is helping me start to get prepared slightly.
Uh-huh.
Looking
you got
to
condition yourself, like go stand outside in your shorts. Take an ice bath. Anyway, no. We're getting derailed already. Today's episode is a result of me going down a rabbit hole. You been down any good rabbit holes lately?
Yeah, always, pretty much. You know, I send emails at 2 a.m., so it happens.
I ran across this blog by a really interesting dude at Microsoft named J.D. Meyer. And the blog was how I kept a zero inbox for 25 years working at Microsoft. And it kind of got me thinking, email is rough. You know, there's a lot of it. And there's two different mentalities that I've heard. There's pilers and there's filers. And you've heard that, you know, contrast before?
Oh, I guess. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Where, you know, everything lives in one place. Maybe you're relying on search, and then sometimes maybe you like to file things away in a several dozen folders, and still go search for it. Yeah. So yeah, managing email, learning how to do that really well can save, you know, could save a couple hours a day, depending on your load and the type of mail coming in. So it can be a pretty key factor on some productivity, how you're, you know, keeping your mind fresh, just having to live inside of there. So yeah, thinking about how to get to that zero inbox is something that could be helpful, something to drive towards. But I don't think you have to kind of kill yourself over it. But thinking about how to get there and the concepts around it, I think is important.
Yeah. Yeah, the mind thing was where I struggle, you know. So I think what we're going to do is, I guess, back up just a second. So I sent you that blog a while ago. I can't remember, a month ago, 2 months ago, something like that. And I started experimenting with some of the things that the blog suggested that you could do. And I started trying to implement them on my corporate mailbox that has tons of mail in it. Like we're in, you know, lists that get automated reporting and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so it's not ridiculous to think that like in a week we're going to get a few thousand emails from automated systems, and it's a lot. So filtering through that stuff to try to actually get to the items that require your attention, and then rapidly making decisions on what to do with those items, and then kind of treating them like tasks in a planner plan or something like that. And so I've been sending you constantly like, hey, I just did this. Hey, I just tried that. And so you've been doing some of these things for a while now, and I'm obviously late to the party, but I thought we would go through some of the things that we're doing and that I've just recently learned how to do on managing your inbox so that you don't feel overwhelmed, so that you're, you know, mentally in a healthier state, and you can be more more productive, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would be let's do that. I have been my mailbox is like 15 years old, so it has probably had a good amount of opportunity for my email to be out there on the interwebs, sign up for vendor information, listservs, just tons and tons of stuff, and it can just be seriously overwhelming for sure. I would say I'm the filer kind of person, so I definitely have a lot of folders. And the way I'm using Outlook, using Exchange Online, so my rule set, I've got a lot of rules, but that's who I am, it's okay. But I would say a few key ones that we're gonna talk about really help facilitate this zero inbox rule. So
yeah,
I like to separate kind of by audience or by my customer, who do I need to help kind of with most often and first. And I like to break my email out kind of that way. And a lot of that is done, you know, through rules. They're around, you know, am I on the to line? Is this coming from my teammates? Is this coming from the primary college I support? Is this coming from external? Can I tell it that it's a listserv coming from external outside? Or is it just coming from someone just generally, you know, asking me a question externally, those kind of things. So those are some of the main key rules and ways I like to break my mail out.
Okay.
I'm on a lot of listservs and things like that. I like to separate those. So I'll have a rule per listserv maybe into a separate folder, but it's really about those, you know, those aren't people I serve and those aren't my customers. But those key ones are the ones I focus on.
I'm gonna take what you said and divide it into two parts. The first part that you said that I think is, it's not a technical problem, it's just a world problem, is that your email's old and it's been out there for a long time, and you are probably on several automated product subscription updates or vendor lists or whatever, right? And so I think before we even get into the technical stuff, it's probably a good idea to just take an hour of your day and sit down and scroll through your inbox and find anything that is an automated, you know, mailing list kind of thing that you don't read, and click the unsubscribe button. You know, go ahead and stop it at the source and give yourself, you know, like I said, I've done this a couple of times now. It takes a while because every single one of those things has a different like unregistration system. You know, it's like, why do you want to leave us? Are you sure you want to opt out of everything? You know, click here, type here, make, you know, sign this thing. But make the effort to go through and unsubscribe from the things that you legitimately don't need. That way they're not even coming into your inbox in the first place.
That's for inbox zero, and where that was coined. There's a gentleman, Merlin Mann, that came up with inbox zero, a productivity expert, and that's kind of the first five steps. There's a deletion step. Like, what are you going to do with this mail coming in? It's delete. And I think also around that delete is reduce the need to delete. And like you're saying, is just get off of lists that you really, you got on there because, you know, you're investigating some new software, you're investigating some new service or something like that. You can get yourself off of those. You don't have to delete them anymore, not spend time deleting.
I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but it really is the first thing to do. You know, it's the, like you said,
know your enemy,
know your enemy. If you're going to delete it, or as soon as you look at it, then why should you get it again? You know, like think about that in your mind and kind of evaluate that mail. Is there anything that you look at that comes from that source that you need to keep? And if the answer is no, you should probably unsubscribe from it. The second thing that you touched on is rules. So let's go back to the basics here and tell me what a rule is. Let's just start. Let's pretend somebody's never seen email before. Like what is a rule going to get me? What's it going to do for me? And like, where would I start playing with them?
Sure. Well, so a rule is sort of a workflow for that email when it hits your inbox. So the email comes in, hits your inbox, and there are some attributes on that. Who is it from? Who is it sent to? The subject line, what's in the body? And a rule is taking that mail that has come in and performing some actions on it. So you sort of have to have a trigger that starts it. So you can say, this email came from my boss. It came from this specific email address. And then I can go do something to it. I could move it to a folder. I could tag it with a category. I could give it a color coding. I could, you know, there's a bunch of things you could do with that when you look at a rule set and the options in your Outlook program or whatever email program you're using. They all have a rule system of some sort nowadays. That's kind of what those rules are. And they can work in a specific order. So when you start adding a few rules, they're kind of work top down. Your first one is going to run first and can cycle through all your rules until it gets through, potentially filtered through each rule set if necessary.
So for our folks out there that are using Outlook, I'm going to suggest to you to head over to office.com and click on the Outlook icon, or if you want to go to it directly, it's outlook.office.com. And when you're looking at your mailbox at the top right, you'll see a little cog, a little gear thing. And when you click that towards the bottom, you'll see view all Outlook settings. And that's kind of like your main settings menu for the web version of Outlook. And this is no app on your computer, just using the browser. And in there, you'll see rules. And that's where Joe's talking about. You can start experimenting and playing with, you know, it came from this one particular address. I want to move it to this particular folder. And that's how you start getting into the filer mentality, you know, of I want to make sure that these are going to the appropriate filing cabinet of my mailbox.
There's one thing I wanted to follow up on that real quick, and that is something that is really, really cool is sweep. And when you were talking about a way to delete things, like this thing, I never look at it and I want it gone. Just opening up the sweep feature gives you an idea of the concept of some of the rules.
That's and the quick, sweep thing is only online. The magical sweep button is only available in the web version of Outlook. So if you're looking at your desktop, you're not going to see it. But Joe's dead on. It is the coolest button. It's like I just want to nuke every single email that ever came from this one address from my entire inbox with one click.
and it'll keep so running satisfying. In the background. It is so cool. It is amazing. But I like it is that it gives you that quick view of what, if you've never done rules, it gives you a quick view of what some concepts around what's possible. And like you said, you've kind of switched to it. I've switched to it using Outlook Online, especially to do the rules, is really helpful because when you start doing rules, there's a chance you might encounter where very specific rules require your Outlook client to be running.
On your computer.
On your computer. So you need that full client running where, you know, maybe you need that in some particular cases, but I like to kind of avoid going down that kind of rabbit hole and requiring that. So I like to use Outlook Online to kind of produce my rules.
Yeah. Yeah. I always author my rules in Outlook Online. That way I know that it's like the server, quote unquote server, is doing it and not some computer application, you know, on my desktop is doing it. And what that means for you as a person, like what that benefit is it doesn't matter if you're looking at your email on your phone, if you're looking at your email on your computer in the app, or if you're looking at your email in a web browser on any other computer in the world, those rules will always process before the mail gets to you, which is that's what you want. You don't, if you've said, I don't want to see this message, then you don't want to see it and wait on your computer to process it. You know, like you want it to be instantaneous. And so authoring the rules through the Outlook web client, I feel like is the best experience. So that, you know, I guess let's go ahead and go back to sweep real quick, because sweep is a rule, but it's kind of like a out of the box, like hammer, you know, for messages that you don't want. And there's two different ways to run sweep. Like you can select a message that's in your inbox that you're like, I don't like this message, or I don't need this message. And not only do I not like it, I want to search and destroy every single instance of this message in my entire mailbox. You can do that in one click.
If you're a pack rat and you get close to your quota, it's a great way to free up some space.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweep button, hands down, one of the best things that Outlook Online has. It's a lot of fun. But in addition to just saying, take everything that came from this mailbox and delete it, you can also do some other interesting things. Like you can say, only keep messages that are newer than 10 days from this address. And if it's older than 10 days, delete it. That way you only have, like, maybe you kind of need to pay attention to it, but you don't need to keep it forever. You only have the most recent things that came from that address. That's a powerful rule. That's a really powerful rule.
I think that's great for rules where you're getting, or emails that you're getting that are some type of automated process, some type of reporting system, where you don't need to keep a bunch of history. You just kind of need to know some recent information, and you're constantly getting updated about some type of data that's coming in. That's a great way to just stay up to date, not have to do the cleanup, and let the cloud do it for you.
Yeah, I love sweep. Yeah, if you take anything away from this entire episode, it's go to Outlook Online and go play with sweep. I feel like it will make your life a whole lot easier. Let's get into some of the custom rules that we're both using. And one of them, I accredit to you, but it's also on JD's blog. And it is the very first rule. So when you're looking at your rules, the one that's at the bottom is the one that's going to process last, I guess, right? So ordered from top to bottom. So the last rule in my list is a rule that I have specified where it says, move every single thing that comes into my inbox into a folder called noise. And so I named it noise just because it could be anything. It could be everything and anything and everything, right? So I have a subfolder in my mailbox called noise. Every single email that I receive goes to noise unless I'm on the to line or I'm on the carbon copy line. So that keeps my root inbox, the thing that I see on my phone, you know, the first, that keeps it very, very, very trim. And so if somebody needs me, they're going to email me directly. And let's throw something else out there while I'm on this rant. If you need me, email's not the way to get me, right? If you need an immediate response, you should send me a chat message. That's, you know, that modal is more designed for instantaneous response, or you should probably call me, you know, don't send me an email that's an emergency. So I'm gonna...
I would totally agree with that. The advent of chat that we use, different platforms, there's going to be some other method that's more instantaneous, and that's where that lives. If you're, you know, I think we're at the point where that in should be the standard. And if you are sending an email, there's not an expectation that there is going to be an immediate response. So if you're someone who is on chat and using chat, you're getting emails that are coming in, that also enables you to reduce the amount of time you're spending in your inbox. The hope is that something that is immediately urgent isn't going to end up being there. Now, you've got to train a lot of people who are interfacing with you often that's how you operate and work. But hopefully over time, that reduces it. One other way to reduce diving into an email. Email is for things that you can go work on when you want to at a specific time.
Yeah. You're never going to call the fire department by sending them an email. You know, you're never going to dial 911 with email. Like, if the server room's on fire and you need a sysadmin to come do something, email's not the way to get their attention.
Or your supervisor needs you for something and they're sending you emails. Well, that's where these rules come into play. And you can take advantage of those in other different ways to help reduce that need to still dive into your email.
Yeah. So I'm gonna recap real quick. My base rule, the one rule to rule them all, is if it is not to me or carbon copied to me, it's going to go to a folder that I'm going to handle later. Anything that's in the inbox, I have to be on the primary address line or carbon copied on it. So that's my first tip on making sure that when you look at your inbox and you're kind of viewing it like, these are things I need to do, these are all tasks. That's a kind of another mental shift, I guess, is start to treat emails like they're tasks, not like they're communications. What is it I need to do with this? Is it relevant to me? Do I need to act on it? Do I need to archive it? Do I need to just get rid of it? You know, those are the questions you start asking yourself as you start processing that leaner inbox.
Yeah, that's same thing with my last final rule is basically pushing mail that's not been sent to me or CC'd into a folder called not direct to me. And again, I think that's been really helpful to clear up things that are more important for me are staying in my inbox. One way to kind of triage that.
Are you an extension agent just getting started with Teams? Or maybe you're experienced, but you're looking to improve your digital cloud skill set? Are you an IT pro supporting extension programs at your university? Well, you're invited to join us in a community working to empower extension agents and their support staff to skill up and learn together. If you're interested, visit aka.ms/join Cloudy County to sign up and join us for monthly training sessions and open discussion with your hosts of the Shift Show. Cloudy County Extension, essential cloud skills for extension by extension. The next thing that I do with the folders that now with the emails that are now left in my inbox is I've come to like Outlook categories. I've noticed that I'm kind of visual. Like, I can pick things up really quickly based on what they look like. If I'm looking for a particular color tab or, you know, Teams, if you set the team icon, I can recognize the icon quicker than I can read all the team names, you know, so I know right what picture I want to go to. So kind of realizing that's, I guess, how my brain works. I don't know. I started using categories with the things that were left in that inbox. And so I assign a category to the email if it's set to me, and I color code it. And I have another rule that's if I'm CC'd on it, that's a different color. And those colors are very different. So now when I look through my inbox, it's like, oh, that's red. That was to me. I should probably look at that one first. Or that one is blue. That was a carbon copy. So somebody's just brought me in for awareness of something that's going on, and I probably don't need to act on it, you know, right away. So I like those a lot because I, like I said, I'm visual. So if you're a visual person, try out categories, but that's another rule that you can create. Same kind of deal where in the rule editor, you say, if I'm on the to line, categorize this email and then pick the color that you want to choose for it. And you can even name the category.
Are you able to go back and maybe sort on those or search on that category and pull up, you know, basically give yourself a view of just those?
You can do some filtering and stuff, which honestly, I don't do a lot of that now. I really like search and, you know, that piler mentality part of me, I guess, is like I can find it through the search box faster than I can actually locate it in a subfolder. But yeah, I think you can make some queries and some search folders and stuff for that. One of the things that we talked about and a word that you used that I want to go back to is triage. When you have stuff left in your inbox, you can, again, one of the things that the blog said, I think he said, I'm not going to spend more than 20 minutes a day doing email. Which I thought was great. I haven't gotten down to 20 minutes yet. But he had this idea of, I'm going to look at my mail and I'm going to try to rapidly make decisions on what do I need to do with it. Do I need to keep it? Do I need to delete it? Do I need to archive it? Do I need to follow up on it? You know, you come up, but you know, depending on your own personal workflow, you need to come up with some ideas like of how you work. Like, is this something I need to do, but I can't do it yet, so it's on hold, you know, kind of like a Kanban kind of workflow with your mailbox. And you use Quick Steps?
Yeah, I take advantage of Quick Steps for often is pushing something with a Quick Step like into my calendar, so that I get maybe there's some task I need to do before we've gotten better with to-do and planner integrations with Outlook. I would push those into my calendar and set a date on those. So that's what I've often been doing with a quick task, is create a quick task that says to calendar. And that'll take that body, that message, stick it in my calendar, and I'll, you know, apply a date on there and maybe a reminder a day before or something like that. I can take advantage of that. Something that I've been doing for a long time.
So I haven't graduated to that point yet, but I like that. Have you had any success doing that with Outlook Online?
With Outlook Online, I haven't done that. No,
I think I tried it, and in Outlook for your desktop, you can take an email and just drag it right to the calendar icon. You know, and it prompts you to make an appointment out of it. I don't know. I'll have to keep digging a little bit, but I think I ran into some snags trying to do that with Outlook Online.
It's definitely something I'm used to using in the Outlook desktop app, is where it's definitely easy to right click and capture the actions that you want to do on that email.
Quick Steps can have a key binding attached to it. So you can, when you make that decision on this is something I need to follow up on, you can use it, like if you're a keyboard ninja, you can use a keyboard combination and you can throw that email directly over to a subfolder called follow up or needs attention or something like that. And you can have that quick step do multiple things to that email. Like you can have it, one of the things that I do is I say mark it as unread. That way I get the little number indicator next to the subfolder that I'm moving into. I have it move it into a subfolder called like follow up. And then I have it flag it. And flagging it makes it red, which I like, because again, I said I'm kind of visual. But the other thing that does is it makes it show up in my Microsoft to-do list. So if I'm using to-do during the day to like manage my day-to-day tasks that I'm trying to get done, there's like this constant reminder, like, hey, there's that email there you haven't done anything with yet, you know. So if it's not something that I can tie a a due date to it where I can actually put it on the calendar, and it's something I know, like, I really need to get this done, but I can't do it right now. That's a quick step that I like to use.
I like to also take advantage of, and this is something that's online, is pinning that message. And I will sometimes I'll flag them. If I know this is something that I'm working on for like the week, I'm gonna sometimes pin that. It's got a little bit longer life to it. I'll pin it to the top of that. It'll kind of float around at the top of the folder that it's in. And that's how that helps me remember that this is something that is important when I go back into that folder and look at it again. I think it's something important for our listeners to understand that we've been doing mail forever and ever, and mailboxes forever, and we've got different ways that we like to work. There's not a way to work. It's what pick from the things we're talking about and see if there's a few of these that start helping you work smarter, faster, better. But there's, you know, these are very personal things, I think, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
To get down to.
Yeah.
So there's no one technique that works for you.
Yeah, this isn't a prescription.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
These are some possibilities that are.
We were talking before the call that we understand in this episode, as we go through this and we talk about these things, that if you're an extension agent and your clientele are all from outside your university, like they're all external. And so all the mail that you're getting that are probably things that you need to act on and make decisions and answer and you know, those types of things that are a part of your extension life, they're all coming from people who are outside your university. So a lot of these rules might not apply exactly to that kind of scenario. However, sweeping and flagging and moving and those types of things are all relevant. So yeah, don't throw us out yet, you know. We got more tricks up our sleeves. Joe, you got any more tricks up your sleeve?
Well, I think going back to kind of a bigger concept for a minute, step back a little bit, is the actions you're going to take upon these emails. And going back to what Zero Inbox talks about, there's delete, there's delegate, you can respond, or you've got to defer, or you got to do, you know, and you're going to do one of those four, there's five, there's delete in there we talked about earlier. And how do you get through that set of options for that item? Basically pick one of those, move it to a folder, so you're going to defer it and work on it later, delegate it, forward it to someone who's actually the person who's responsible. I know often we get emails that are destined for me, where, you know, maybe a help desk person, a district tech for myself, might be better and closer to the user, and I'll get that over to them and defer that. Or just, you know, you're in there, like you said, try to spend 20 minutes on it. Can you respond like right now? You know, if you take a prescriptive approach to your email, you're going to take some time and say, I'm going to do my responses. I'm just gonna go ahead and do my responses and get it out of there. The one I like to think about right now is maybe the do part. And that is basically creating it. For us right now, I think for us is creating a task. Go get that into, it's an email that's generating a project. It's generating work. The work shouldn't be the email. The work should be what the email is asking about. So get that into some other place where you can see a list of all those things set aside that you really need to go do work on. And there's some great integrations that we have, like you were talking about, flagging goes to do. You can get this into tasks, the to-do app. Definitely take advantage of those. So those are some place that are, you can check those off. It feels really good to check off a task. But to, you know, just to basically make an email that's become unread, if that's your method, now my unread message, it means I'm done with it. There's better ways.
Yeah. 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 And I guess I should be clear with what I was saying earlier, is the treating an email like it's a task is more of like an inside your head change, not a, Outlook is the technology that you should be using to manage your tasks. You know, there's lots of things out there, like you said, that make task management a little bit more achievable. I don't feel like Outlook is necessarily one of those. It does have a task thing in it, but I feel like To-Do is really, you know, taking over that space when it comes to individual task management. And I use To-Do on a daily basis. I like it quite a bit. And I find flagging to just be a really easy way to make that change of that item from just an incoming email to now something I have to get done. And using that quick step of move it to my follow-up folder, mark it as unread, and flag it, all those things make sure that I know, like, hey, you got to do that.
And getting it over in To-Do is when you're done with that, that kind of flows back into Outlook. So you complete that task, basically unflag it, and that kind of will fall out of Outlook on the other side too. So you're not having to manage that in both places, really.
Yeah, definitely. Another quick step that I like to do is, let's say an email comes in and I read it and I'm like, okay, I got it. That was useful. There's not anything for me to do, but I don't want to get rid of it because let's say there's an off chance that I need it later, you know, like for reference. Maybe I'm using the search function in Outlook and I want to find that email that told me how to do the thing or, you know, had a link in it that I needed or something like that. You can archive it. And archive means a lot of different things. It really depends on what your university or your employer is doing. Archive could be creating a separate folder outside of your inbox called archive. Archive could be a completely different mailbox that your employer has given you that's like, hey, this is where you put all your old stuff. So when I say archive, I am simply talking about the action of taking an item in your mailbox and moving it somewhere else so that it's outside of your immediate vision, but you can still get to it later. And so I have a quick step for that. And my currently, since it's still 2022, my archive folder is 2022 mail. And when I look at an email like today and I'm like, hey, that was good. I don't want to get rid of this. I have a quick step that's archive. And it immediately takes that mail, marks it as read, and moves it to my 2022 folder. January 1st, I'll go in and update that quick step and make it 2023. And I'll create a 2023 folder. And for the next 365 days, I'll keep moving it there. And that keeps my primary mailbox super, super lean. You know, doing that quick step, I can highlight, you know, 12 messages at the same time and quick step them all right into that archive folder and kind of get them out of my immediate vision. But they're still there if I need them.
I will probably do like every 6 months I do a sweep of things that are left over and move them. I've set a little reminder to do that. I like that concept because you already have completed that work, or you know that you want to maintain it. Let's when you first touch that email, do it then. I think that's the great, that's the concept there that you've got going on is try to touch that email one time, put it in the right place, and get one of those five actions going on it that you need to perform.
Yeah, if it's still there, I feel like I've got a homework assignment due that I haven't done yet. You know that feeling from school? It's like, I need to get this done. And so, yeah, acting on it as soon as I touch it, I try to go through those steps in my mind and decide what is the appropriate thing to do with this task, this mail that I just got, and then have my quick steps and whatnot configured accordingly. Or just mash the delete button. You know,
the key combination for that.
Yeah, it's one button.
I'm staring at my Stream Deck right now, and I'm thinking, how many buttons can I? Can I have an Outlook pad on there?
Oh, just gosh.
All the key combinations, what I need to do right there. Because I don't know if I remember them all, but That's a great.
You know, that's one thing we should say real quick is the desktop version of Outlook. So when you look at your mail, let me click on a mail in my mailbox here. There's a little like lightning bolt icon that says Quick Steps, and you can go into that and you can say Manage Quick Steps, and you can create your own customized like series of actions. This is kind of like a rule, but it's a rule that you initiate on demand. You know, this is what I want to do to this mail item, but I only want to do it when I say it should happen. And you can assign keyboard shortcuts to that. So I think that starts off with like Control-Shift-1, I think is where you can start. The online version of Outlook doesn't start with Control-Shift-1. It starts with like 5 or 6 or something like that. So there's a little bit of a difference there. But in the online version, I think the way I saw it working was whatever the most recent quick step was that you did will show up directly on the toolbar in Outlook Online. So if you're like, oh, I'm looking at mine right now and it says Archive 2022 Inbox. That's the quick step that I use when I want something to get shipped off to that archive mailbox. I don't even have to use a keyboard shortcut. It's just always there because that's the last thing I did. So that's equally convenient. You know, I think that again, they both the different experience, both have their strengths, weaknesses. I would try them both and kind of see what you like.
If you are adventurous, you can even dive into Power Automate and take it and have it, you know, point at your mailbox and look for very, very specific emails and do some other things that you might need to do that's kind of outside of what a rule could do even. So if you really have someone that you really, really need, a VIP, you could have a Power Automate flow set up that alerts you on your phone that there's this very, very special email that you need to take advantage of or take, you know, go triage right away. So if you want to get adventurous, you can even go down that route. So there's a number of ways to manage your mail. Some of those tools can be advanced and some are super easy and powerful like Sweep. There's a broad range available to you to, you know, take better care of your email, take better care of your brain. Zero inbox, I think what they try to go for is it may not be zero emails, but maybe the zero amount of brain time you're having to spend in your mail.
I love Sweep. Again, like if you haven't ever tried Sweep and you're listening to this, you should definitely go look at your mailbox online and try Sweep. It's so satisfying. Okay, the last thing that I'm going to talk about that I kind of referenced earlier from JD's blog, he said something, I'm paraphrasing, he said something along the lines of, I told my manager, I'm not going to spend more than 20 minutes a day doing email. And I think his manager said something like good luck or something like that, but it sounds like he was very successful at doing it. And so I tried to adopt as much as I could that mindset of managing my mail how I see fit when I see fit. And again, remembering if it's an emergency, you shouldn't be emailing me, you should be calling me, texting me, you know, setting off the bat signal, doing something like that. So what I've done is I have set 2 recurring appointments on my calendar that are called email triage. And I've got one like mid-morning and I've got another one mid-afternoon. And they're both 15 minutes apiece. And that is me, I have this really bad habit of leaving my Outlook inbox up on a second monitor or on the side of my screen or something all day long. And it really turns into like this weird productivity trap that you get sucked into. Instead of doing the thing that you were thinking about, you see something pop up in your inbox and your eyes go over there and then you're done for. You know, you got sucked into it and now you're looking at that other thing instead of what you were originally thinking about. So trying to move my email management into this is kind of a prescription, I guess, and to prescribe time slots where it's like, this is when I'm going to look at my mail and this is when I'm going to work on it, has helped me. I'm getting there. I'll be honest. I'm getting there. I'm trying.
I think it's important because we're not getting paid to read our email. You know, we're not get that time is not, it's the work that has come into the email that's important. So like you said, that's great. Is you mid-morning, sounds like you're take the work that shows up in your email and get it into some other tool. That's where you're spending your time working through it. And yeah, those notifications, and they just off to the side, and you see a little pop-up and you haven't set focus mode or something like that, and you're getting a little ding, that will obviously distract you. Just momentary distraction and put you off some concentration you might be having to do. If it's not open, it's not gonna have that effect. But like you said, you do have to get the information in there out into something that is more useful to you, easier to track, and accomplish those tasks that come through into your email.
You know, I said last thing, but now this whole piece that we just went on reminded me of another thing that you can do that will help you not get sucked into the email trap. If you go into the settings of your Outlook client, and you can do this on the web version as well, you can actually turn off the sound for when a new email comes in, and you can turn off like the little flashing, you know, icon that you get on your taskbar. But you can leave it on for things like calendar appointments, because those are obviously have a time associated with them and they have to be done at a specific time. You know, you don't want to be late for a call because your Outlook client didn't tell you. But you can turn off the notifications that you get that can be distracting. Like, it's in my notification center now and down by my clock, and I'm getting sounds and I'm getting flashes, and all those things are designed to grab your attention. And when email has turned into like this vortex that sucks you in and prevents you from being productive, maybe experiment with turning those off and, you know, kind of see how that goes. And if you're getting a lot of email, yeah, you're going to want to turn them off anyway, because that's annoying.
I think that's really important, because I think, like we've been talking about, it's not in your inbox time you're spending on it, but again, that's taking focus away, your brain focus away, and putting it back onto an email system. And like you said, turning those off. If you've set, like you did, set your calendar little reminders a couple times a day, that's your time where you know you're going to be interrupting your day to go do your email triage.
Yeah. I'm getting in control. I'm wrangling my inbox and telling it, this is when I'm going to look at you. This is when I'm going to work on you. And the rest of the day, I'm going to be getting work done. You know, that's, again, like you said, that's what we're here for, is to get work done. And sometimes email, it generates the work that needs to get done. But again, if something's on fire, you shouldn't be sending it to me through email.
So. Take advantage of the rules in Outlook so that Outlook doesn't rule you.
Nice. On that cheesy note, that was fun. This has been like a 5 or 6 week adventure for me, trying to figure out how to make it work better, how to make myself work better. And things are a little different, but I feel like this will continue to evolve, and I will continue to come up with ways that work better for me specifically. And that's a big takeaway here, is just go over the 5 or 6 things that we talked about and try one or two of them and see how they work for you. Make some subfolders, make some rules, make some categories, make some quick steps, you know, and some of it's not even technical stuff. Some of it's just like habitual type stuff, like change your work habit, and see how it goes for you. But it might free you up a little bit more than you'd think.
A couple hours potentially waiting there.
Yeah.
So hopefully something, you know, start the new year fresh, with a new way to manage your mail. That'd be a great way to kick off the new year.
Yep. Just clear your inbox now. Delete them all. Start off with nothing. Don't do that. Move them all somewhere. All right, man. Let's get into some wins. Did you do anything cool? Have anything successful happen, you know?
Yeah, I have. It's, you know, it's end of year, thinking about the year, what has been going on. I've just really looked at the whole year as a whole, and it's really been very special. There's been an opportunity to give talks at conferences, got back to do some travel, professional and personal, made MVP status with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So there's been some professional growth, and it's been a really good year. And just kind of reflecting on that is being able to feel that way at the end of the year is a really big win for me.
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot. Yeah, my year has been like yours. I didn't get to travel as much because you're way cooler than I am. But it's been a lot.
It's been a great year. It's been a great year.
My win, it happened just the other day and you were there. So my birthday was last week, and I found out secretly that a month or so ago, a coworker had started planning like a little birthday slash going away event for me. And we did it the other night at Topgolf, and I suck at golf. So that was confirmed.
All your friends are right there with you at that same level.
Oh, God, it was bad. It was so bad. But I still had fun. I had fun sucking at golf. But yeah, it was really cool. The people that showed up were the people I would consider. They're my team. Y'all, you know, y'all were the ones I worked the closest with, the ones that I met with most frequently, had status meetings with, had projects with, traveled with. So I was really appreciative of you all doing that. So thank you for that and for everybody.
It was a lot of fun. My back may not be appreciative right now.
You were crushing them. Definitely topped the charts for our little club that we had there.
I know you and I, though, I think we fight all the time trying to swing it like a bat from our childhood.
It's really hard not to do that. And, you know, I play a lot of disc golf, and I suck at that too. But it would have been really fun to be able to, like, I was like, man, I wish I had a frisbee I could throw here just to see how far it would go compared to a ball.
You would throw that frisbee farther than I'm hitting that golf ball from the times I played.
I would definitely throw the really frisbee good. Farther than I was hitting a golf ball. Should have teed off with the putter. Anyway, yeah, that was my win. That was a good time. It was a surprise, which was cool. My wife was in on it, which was cool. So yeah, I had a great time. So thanks to y'all for arranging that.
Excellent. So, well, thank you, everyone. It's our little holiday December. Hopefully you're someplace with a nice warm beverage if you're cold, or something else if you happen to still be somewhere warm with a beach in your view.
But yeah, we're thinking about relaxing
over the break. Yeah.
Yeah. Chill out for a while, reflect a little bit, you know, have a good time, be with family, all those things that are great this time of year. So, but yeah, this is it for 2022, Joe. We're done. Dunzo.
I guess the inbox zero and end of our podcast for the year, kind of zeroed that out now too. We'll start fresh in the new year.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. We'll see you in 2023 in the future when we beam back for another episode of The Shift Show. See ya. We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Shift Show. If you found our content useful, please consider subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review. This will help others find our show. If you'd like to connect with us, you can find us on LinkedIn or on our homepage at aka.my/shiftshow. We'll beam back next month for a new episode.
Transporter room, stand by to beam up landing party.